So Advent is looking forward. The expectation of something happening. Before Jesus came, they were expecting the Messiah to come. We are looking toward Christmas. The Messiah is born at Christmas. But we're on the other side. Jesus died and rose again, and he ascended to heaven. And he says that he will return one day. And so we are looking forward to his return. And as a reminder of the light of the world coming into this space, God coming down as Jesus, and that he's coming back, the light of the world is coming back, we light a candle. Each one of these candles represent a different theme of the Advent. And the first candle we light will be hope. The light of the world has come, and he's coming again. So if you get distracted by what we're doing, what I'm teaching on, maybe when we go to singing, maybe the candle will bring you back to the light of the world. That's the hope. Hope. What is hope? Merriam-Webster Dictionary says this. It is a desire accompanied by expectation of obtaining what is desired or belief that it is obtainable. It's a lot of words. It's a lot of words. It's a desire that there's an expectation that something will come. We're right at the Christmas season. We think of hope maybe being the thing that we're going to find under the tree. I know I did when I was a kid for sure. Maybe honestly as an adult. I was hoping for certain things under the tree. Well, as I think about hope and as I've done some study, we're going to talk a little bit about this. Which of these two pictures best signifies hope, do you think? See, it's interesting. This picture on the left is actually my driveway. We had that big snowfall this week, right? And we couldn't get underneath the branches of the trees because the trees were so weighted down with snow that they even brushed my daughter's car as she left for work, which probably took some of the snow off of it, which is probably good. But I thought, this really is an interesting picture. So I took that picture. But then on the right-hand side, you've got a gal that's out on the water, just like everything is great. This expectation of great, beautiful sunshine, warm weather. Which of these two do you think represents hope? Well, we're going to talk a little bit about that. Because 'tis the season for hope, right? 'Tis the season. And I ask, what are you hoping for right now? Think about it for a moment. This desire accompanied by expectation. Maybe, like I said, maybe it's a certain gift you're hoping for under the tree. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you're looking forward to the raise or the potential raise that's coming in the new year. Maybe you're hoping for unity among family members. Hoping for better grades, hoping for better health, hoping for the easy Jesus life. What are you hoping for? Is there anything that you'd hope for such a long time that you're still waiting to arrive? You've hoped for so long, maybe you've been hoping for that wayward child. Maybe you've been hoping for the answers to some of your deepest questions. Maybe you're hoping for the answer to why you've been mistreated the way you were. Hoping for the answer to why the way of Jesus is so difficult. See, hope is a really interesting thing. Hope is really interesting because animals do not have hope. My dog does not have hope. This is actually a picture of my dog, Barley. We put the lights around his neck body maybe a couple of years ago. My dog does not have hope. He never fears that he may not receive his dinner after getting breakfast and it's gone. He never worries about that. He never hopes for the next meal. He lives directly in the moment. He lives moment by moment. Don't get me wrong, he knows when dinner is time. He'll never let us forget dinner time. Although he never worries he's going to get it or not. We are human, and humans have the opportunity for hope. What would the opposite of hope be? I looked this up in the thesaurus online. You can look up the antonyms of a word, and I looked up the antonyms of hope, and here are three that stood out to me. Distrust, doubt, and fear. The opposite of hope is distrust, doubt, and fear. So I wonder, what in our lives or what in your life brings up a sense of distrust or doubt or fear? Things like maybe the government. Distrust, doubt, fear. What about the battles going around the world? Does that bring something up in you? What about the future career path you wish to have or hope to have or wonder what you're going to have? Maybe it's your friendships. Maybe it's your financial security or insecurity. What brings up this distrust, this doubt, or this fear? Why do we distrust or doubt or fear these things? Why do we fear them? Why do they bring us to this point? I think it's because if we project what we are currently seeing as our current reality into the future, honestly, it looks pretty bleak. And so we distrust and doubt and fear, and these limits removes our hope. When we're afraid of what tomorrow brings, we can't look beyond what tomorrow brings because we're so nervous that we've got to do something about it now. I don't know if you've experienced that, but when I'm afraid, when I'm doubting, when I'm in such a mental state where I just can't seem to get beyond, I can't see beyond today. I can't see beyond the next couple of hours. I've been there. Have you been there? You see, when we're controlled by our distrust, our doubt, and our fear, we're living similarly to the animals. We're simply living moment by moment. And is that really what God has called us to? How would you feel if someone cuts in line in front of you? I hate that. Especially around Christmas time, right? When everybody's wanting to get in a line. I don't know about you, but I get angry. I think we get angry. They should just follow the rules like everybody else. Right? That's right. You see, that person, we have this feeling that that person took something that was rightfully yours for themselves. And we just, oh, that is not okay. So what if we took this a step further? What if someone were to come and rip you out of your vehicle and steal your car? That's bigger than stepping into line in front of me, right? We'd get pretty angry, not just angry, we would be taking it to the next level. It's not theirs to take, it's mine. They violated your rights as a citizen. They should know better. Okay. What if someone were to take over your house? What if someone were to kick you out of your city? What if someone were to take over your state? See, in Minnesota, these things are much less likely, but and honestly, quite unfamiliar. It would take quite a bit for Minnesota to be taken over, but with each consecutive takeover, you'd feel deeper and deeper violation. Right? We're going to jump into the Bible. We're going to look into Isaiah. Isaiah is a letter that was written by Isaiah to a group of people who were struggling with that exact thing. Their rights were violated, and they were becoming more and more violated. They were losing not only their spot in line, not their vehicle, not their house. They were losing their community. They were losing their country. They were at a point where they were wondering if there's anything worth hoping for. Assyria was about to take them out. They were at their doorstep and ready to overthrow the country. I imagine they had an immense amount of distrust, an immense amount of doubt, an immense amount of fear. And honestly, I imagine it seemed quite hopeless. We're going to jump into Isaiah chapter 40 and read some verses that if you've been in the church for any period of time, these might be very familiar verses to you. Isaiah chapter 40, we're looking right toward the end, start at verse 26. Isaiah 40, 26 through to the end. And here's what it says. This is in the New Living Translation. I like it because it's easy for me to read. So if you have a different translation, you may have something that says a little bit different. We'll discuss some of that at the end here. 26 and 27 says this. Isaiah speaking, "Look up to the mountains. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of his great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing." Verse 27. "O Jacob, how can you say the Lord does not see your troubles? O Israel, how can you say God ignores your rights? Remember, they're about to be overthrown by Assyria. And they felt like all of their rights as God's people were being violated because they were going to get overtaken from their country that was rightfully theirs." Levi, can you go back one slide, 26. One more slide. Isaiah says, look up. Look up. Isaiah is reminding his hearers that there's more to this life than their current situation. There's more to this life. Look up was the command of Isaiah. See, they felt no hope. They were hopeless people. They felt as that nobody sees them. Nobody knows. Nobody with any strength can possibly get them out of there. Can you relate? Can you relate? Have you ever felt invisible? So did they. They felt totally invisible, that there was nothing anybody could do to get them out of this situation. They didn't have a long view of life. Their hope of their future was limited by what they could see that was right in front of them. Verse 28. "Have you never heard? Have you never understood? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of all the earth. He never grows weak or weary. No one can measure the depths of his understanding." Now Isaiah is taking and asking these people some rhetorical questions. They know the answers to these questions. Have you not seen? Have you not heard? Well, of course they have. You see, the hopelessness, the people here are reminded that God is not limited to what we can see or what we can do. His strength is never limited. His perspective is never short-sighted. God always has the long view in mind. Always. Even when we don't. Verses 29 and 30. "He gives power to the weak and strength to the powerless. Even youths will become weak and tired, and young men will fall in exhaustion." Well, who in these verses would need strength and power? Really, anybody who's limited. If you're limited in strength and power, you're exactly the person that needs it in order to be lifted up. Isn't it amazing that our unlimited God gives power to the limited? Think about that. Our unlimited God gives power to the limited. Even the strongest among us get tired. Yes, even young men will get tired. Right, young men? They're smiling. Yeah, they're smiling. They knew what I'm talking about. Verse 31. But I love it. I love it when there's a big but in the Bible. "But those who trust or hope or wait in the Lord will find new strength." They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. My friends, this is a conditional statement. Conditional statements are if-then statements. If this, then that will happen. You see, here's the if and the then. If we hope in the Lord, then he will renew our strength. If we trust in the Lord, then he will renew our strength. It talks about eagles. You see, when troubles come, as I said before, it kind of limits our vision. Our ability to see beyond our trouble is minimized. Now imagine being able to get above that and see what an eagle sees. See, God says that he will raise us up like on eagle's wings. You see, it's a vantage point we don't have here on the ground. They can see further and more directly and more clearly. If our hope is in God, we begin to see that our difficulties from a different, more godly perspective. What difficulty in your life do you see as limiting your view? What do you need to be able to rise above to be able to see from a different perspective? It says that we will run and we'll walk. Anyone here get tired while running? I promise that if I were to run, I'd get tired. I never run. I walk. I promise as I walk, I get tired. I hope you've felt that as well. So when we're running or walking, we need rest. We need strength that we don't have. Sometimes it feels like in life we're running faster and faster and we got more and more to do and we never get a break. Yet God can give us strength even during the busy times of life. Sometimes life feels like a walk, just living day by day, just walking. You see, even that can seem tiring and pointless at times. Yet, if our hope is in God, he will give us what we need to continue walking. I really want to camp out on this part here. But those who trust, it's interesting. Because some translations, maybe you have a different translation that says hope. Anybody have a translation in front of them that says hope? Those who hope in the Lord. Yeah, that's how I remember this verse. Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. The NLT says trust, but then there's others that say wait on the Lord. Yeah, someone says wait on the Lord, right. So isn't it interesting that we're trying to understand what's being said, and all of these have a little different flavor of what's being said. At least I think so. Thinking trust is a little different than hope, which feels a little different than waiting on. This is what's difficult about translating from one language to another. The Bible, the Old Testament, was written in Hebrew. Okay, the New Testament was written in Greek. I say all that. There's a little lesson here, and if it's a little bit academic, and if you're not academic, just look at the candle for a little while. It'll distract you. But I want you to hear something. So again, Isaiah's in the Old Testament, written in Hebrew, a language. The Greeks came along, they remember writing the New Testament in their language, but they could read all of Hebrew. But that limited the number of people that could read because most of those people read in Greek. So what they did, the Greek took the Old Testament Hebrew and translated it into Greek so that the whole Bible was now written in Greek. Okay, that Old Testament section that is now written, translated into Greek, is called the Septuagint. You might see this if you were to do some research on it. You'll see capital L, capital X, capital X. That means Septuagint. I don't really know why. It is, okay? So I say all this because I know there's plenty of New Testament verses that talk about hope. And I started looking up the verses that talked about hope, that used the word hope, and I found that there were two different words used for the word hope in Greek. This is where I'm going. two words in Greek for hope. I'm going to bring us back to that first picture, and then we're going to talk about these two words. Which of these two pictures do you think of hope? I think of the right one. Here are the Greek words. You can put that up, Levi. That's fine. I don't speak it very well, so forgive me if you do. The one on the right, it's pronounced elpis. It's an expectation of the good. When I think of hope, that's what I think of. You know, I hope for that thing under the tree to be what I've been wanting, right? Or I hope for tomorrow to be better than today. I have a positive expectation that something good is going to happen, right? Expectation of something good. Then there's another word on the left. Hupameno. Hupameno. That word is used in Greek quite often. And that word means to persevere. It means to persevere. Isn't that interesting? Have you thought about your perseverance being an opportunity for hope? I typically don't. So I ask this, with this in mind, one being expectation of good, another being to be able to persevere. Which of these two words, when they translated from Greek to Hebrew, do you think they used in our Isaiah verse? Levi, I don't remember if I have that verse up next again. Do you have that up? Isaiah 31. Can you pop that up? But those who trust, hope, this has to do with perseverance. Not an expectation of something good happening. But honestly, you're feeling the weight of something happening in life. And you just kind of got to walk through it. And you have these blinders on because you can't see. But those who persevere, I'm going to keep walking toward God, even though I don't understand. Those who hope, those who persevere will renew their strength. And the weight, and the burden, and the question, and the unanswered questions you have, and the fears, and the worries, and the doubts, it's a burden. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. It's not, I hope for good things. I can't wait for Jesus to come because then I'm going to be in heaven again. That's what we think of when we think of hope. That is not what Isaiah is saying. It's those who persevere under the weight toward God will renew their strength. Whew, what a different mindset than I've ever had about this verse. Friends, I know we struggle. Life has all kinds of struggles in our lives, and we don't know what the next step is necessarily. That's okay. Can we continue to walk toward the Lord and trusting that He's going to renew our strength? Because that won't happen. The renewing of the strength won't happen unless we hope, persevere, and trust in Him. So another instance for us, we just got out of James, right? We just finished James last week. Another instance where this word, hupomeno, is that what I said? Forgive me if I didn't. Hupomeno is used, it's actually used in James chapter 1. And here's where it says it. God blesses those who patiently endure testing. God blesses those who are hopeful in testing and temptation. Isn't that interesting? Patiently endure. That's where it's used. And that's, you read through, if you find this word, if you're interested, you can find that, hupomeno, and you'll find that it talks about perseverance just about every single time. Blessed are you who are persecuted, being persevering through the persecution. See, the hope that we have has more to do with persevering than simply anticipating a better future. And God wants to strengthen us through it. So I don't know in your life what we have this hope and this joy of Christmas. It brings a lot of, can bring a lot of life and joy, but sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's just heavy and you got to trudge, feel like you got to trudge through. We want to be lifted up by God, as he says. We want that. But we feel like we can't get that if we're still persevering. But Isaiah tells us we can. And that's what it takes, is the continual walk, even through the heavy stuff, even through the unknown, through the questions, through the doubt, through the fear, to walk through that trusting God, and he'll lift us up. Sometimes hope is not just an expectation of a better future. Sometimes hope is enduring under pressure, trusting that the Lord will strengthen you through it. So I ask you, my friends, what are you enduring under and need the Lord to strengthen you? That is hope. That is hope. Let me pray for us. Father, some of this really hits a chord with some folks. There's an enduring that's happened for a lifetime, maybe. Unanswered questions that seemed a burden. A difficulty to see beyond today. This burden seems really heavy. Father, would you give us just the strength to continue and to look to you, to continue that our hope and our trust in you will carry us through, and Lord, that tomorrow we trust that you'll strengthen us more, that we can stand up under it. Would you be our hope as we continue to walk through this life that just isn't easy? Help us, Father, to have hope in you. Help us to trust in you, that we can be strengthened even though it feels heavy. And Lord, I pray that my friends, as they walk through this, as their hope, as they walk through this in you, that they will recognize the strength of God coming into their life. Oh Lord, don't let this be something that we hear about to never experience. Lord, let us experience your strength on the other side as we trust you today. You are our hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.